you don't actually have any specific Donegal connections.
No. I was in the Gaeltacht and Guido as a kid. I think I played golf in Merva once, but that's about as close or as much as I've had to do with Donegal, I'm afraid.
Yeah, well, the racing map of Ireland, some flapping, but no major courses to speak of.
Not official.
Now, it's a sport followed with huge interest up here, but you come from a real heartland of it, Kill in County Kildare. You don't get much more horsey country than that. And obviously, many of us will know that your father, the former champion amateur jockey Ted Walsh, a regular on the TV screens. Was it inevitable that you were going to go down that career pathway?
I suppose it was. I mean, Dad was a trainer. We had horses at home. My grandfather trained before him. I suppose that's what I was reared into. That's what I was used to. That's what I knew. I suppose it was inevitable. It was the family business. Like lots of people all across the country, siblings often follow their parents into the family business, and that was ours. Did I ever think or believe I could have had the career I've had? No. But it was, I suppose, the dream.
Yeah, well, obviously, you have to have the talent, and from an early age, that was evident. You won the Irish amateur title twice?
I did. I suppose I was still in school the first year I was champion amateur. But I was lucky. William Mullins was coming to the end of his riding career, and there was an opening in his yard to ride a lot of quality bumper horses. You know, I suppose lots of things in life, you can be in the right place at the right time, and I most certainly did come along at the right time. I fell into a job there, and, you know, when I left school and I was 18, I started working for William. I'm 39 and I'm still there. You know, we've had a lot of success together, but I just came along at the right time when the doors were opening.
Yeah, and it certainly catapulted into the headlines. I think you were only 20, wasn't it, when you won the English Grand National on Papillon?
Yeah, I was. That had been a bit of an up and down year. I broke my leg the previous September, riding in the Czech Republic, and then, you know, it had been a long winter. I came back in time for Cheltenham, but didn't have any success, and Dad had Papillon, and look, that was a fairy tale, to tell you the truth. I never expected that to win an English National. When I was growing up, Irish horses didn't compete in English Nationals. You know, if they got around, they were doing well, but Irish horses didn't win Grand Nationals, so it was never something I thought I'd be lucky enough to do. I suppose in 1999, Paul Carver did it on Bobby Joe, and it was amazing to think that I knew him. But to go and do it the following year in 2000 and Papillon, you know, even to this day, it was the highlight of my career.
Yeah, and I suppose it was nearly dreamland stuff, because not that long afterwards, you'd success on Comanche Court in the Irish National.
Yeah, a couple of weeks later, 2 weeks later, Comanche won the Irish National, and a fortnight later, he went on and won the Gold Cup in Punchestown. So it was a 6 weeks as a family we'll never forget. It was an unbelievable time. Hard to replicate, but at least we had it.
Now, tell us a little bit about life at the top, being a professional jockey, your standard week, your Monday to Friday. What sort of time are you up in the morning?
I mean, there's nothing, you can't do much with horses in the dark, Chris, so this time of year we're not that early. It's not bright till about 8, I suppose 10 past, quarter past 8, so I get up at the same time every morning, 6:30. Willie Mullins doesn't believe that there's nothing you can do at 11 o'clock, that you can't be done at 6 o'clock. He's not an early riser, so we don't start overly early, and you might have a later finish, but work doesn't start at 8 a.m. All the horses, there's about 200 odd horses in Willie, so they all have to be exercised every day, so I'd be there Tuesday to Saturday. We race every Sunday. I tend to take Monday off. I'm in the gym twice a week, and then whatever days we have race, and I suppose in the winter we tend to only race Thursday, Saturday, Sunday, whereas in the summertime you could be racing 7 days a week. But it's full on. It's a great life. I wouldn't swap it, and I thoroughly enjoy it.
Now, you touched on there the gym. Just how important is it staying in shape, and how much of a challenge is it to be keeping that at the right weight and to be eating the right foods and you know, being fit for the job?
Well, my diet is probably very different to most other sports people. I only eat twice a day. I have a sandwich at lunchtime, and then I have dinner in the evening with Gillian and the kids. And that's that's what I eat. That's how, you know, I eat in a 6 hour period of the day. I eat between one and again then before seven. So I suppose I'm fasting for 18 hours and having something to eat for the other six, but that's how I manage my weight. My weight doesn't tend to vary. You know, it stays on a bad day, I'd be 10 stone 2 in the morning. On a good day, I'd be 9 stone 13. It doesn't vary any more than 3 pounds up or down. So that's the way I tend to keep it. And the gym, well, so gym work is important. I mean, you know, core strength and flexibility, and the same as any athlete, you have to keep yourself in shape. I suppose as a jockey, because we compete so often and so regularly, we don't probably do as much training as other sports people. You know, if you're playing, I suppose, one match a week, you have to train the other days. But in the summertime, from sort of April through all the way to early October, we will be racing 6 days a week. So you're competing more so than training.
In terms of travel, you must clock up a lot of miles. So how far in advance is your calendar filled in for where you're going to have the rides?
10 a.m. the day before, 10:30 a.m. the day before. It's that short notice. Declarations and final decisions are only made at 10 a.m. the day before a race. So you wouldn't be guaranteed where you're going till then. Lots of lastminute.com, plenty of driving. You know, when I worked with Paul Nicholls as well as Willie Mullins, and I commuted to the UK, there was a different way of life altogether. For those 10 years I would have been in England Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and home on a Wednesday night, being in Ireland on a Thursday, back to the UK Friday morning for Friday and Saturday, and home again for Sunday. That was a totally different lifestyle. Well, it was a great lifestyle, but you know, it was quite hectic. We saw a lot of airports, and eventually it wore on me. But you know, now just being based in Ireland, yeah, there's quite a considerable amount of driving. I'm not a massive fan of driving. At all possible, I'd get someone to drive me, but travel is part of the job. There's no point in giving out about it. I'd much prefer to be driving to a race meeting in Ballinrobe or Galway than sat in the commuting traffic from Kildare to Dublin every morning.
Now, the Cheltenham Festival, something that you're so close to. What is it, 11 times champ, leading jockey? So many memories. I suppose it's hard to pick out any one above the other, but at the same time, there are special ones, not least, I suppose, the Gold Cup.
Yeah, well, the Gold Cup is the highlight of the meeting, and I've been lucky enough to win it twice in Carlow Star. But your first is also very special. I was lucky enough to win the bumper on Alexander Banquet in 98. That was my first winner there. But I've been very lucky with the two jobs I've had, working for Paul Nicholls and Willie Mullins on the cast of horse that they trained. I've been fortunate to ride a lot of the big names of my era, from Cardiff Star to Hurricane Fly. Yeah, look, Cheltenham has been very lucky for me, but I've been fortunate enough to ride a lot of very, very good horses. And in racing, you're only as good as the horse you're riding.
Yeah. Now, at the Sports Star Awards, there is a horse racing category. Martin Harley from Donegal is doing very well across channel with upcoming jockeys Oisin Orr and Conor Orr and Dylan Brown McMonagall. And the big races get the headlines, and obviously Cheltenham and Aintree. But as you've known down through the years, it's also the small tracks around Ireland, the Kilbeggans and the Gorran Parks and the Thurles. You know, they have such a big part to play.
Well, they do. I mean, that's where you learn your trade. I mean, I've had a huge amount of success in Cheltenham, but it's an undulating track, and it was some riding in places like Tramore, Downpatrick, Galway, Sligo. That's where you learn your trade. And those smaller tracks make the great jockeys Ireland has always produced. Irish racing, a lot of our tracks are quite tight, quite undulating. Racing in Ireland is very competitive and very tight. And we haven't been fortunate to produce, you know, the world-class riders that we have. We produced them because of the competitiveness of our tracks and the competitiveness of our racing.
And just overall, the horse racing industry here in Ireland at the moment, I mean, how healthy do you feel it is at the current state?
It's healthy at the minute, but an awful lot's going to depend on what happens with Brexit. Yeah. You know, we do rely a huge amount on the UK for exports and imports of horses, for clients, for a lot of things. So Brexit is going to have a massive impact on racing, as it is, I suppose, the whole country. But like everybody else, and I suppose in Donegal, you're right beside it. You know, I'm sure a lot of people in Donegal are quite worried about what's going to happen. So, you know, we're in a healthy position, but Brexit could change all of that.
Yeah, that was actually the next point I was going to ask you, so you jumped ahead of me there. Finally, Ruby, just before we let you go, your own agenda the next couple of months, building up to Cheltenham again?
Yeah, well, we've got Thaestes Chase this Thursday and going, and then obviously with G on Friday, with Ferry House on Saturday, and obviously then with the Dublin Racing Festival the following weekend. And then it's all roads lead to Cheltenham. So, you know, our season has become, I suppose, quite backloaded from the Dublin Racing Festival to Cheltenham to the Irish Grand National meeting at Ferry House, Aintree, for the English Grand National, and Punchestown to wrap it all up. From the Dublin Racing Festival in early February to the end of April, that is the core of our season. It's where a lot of the big prize money is. It's where a lot of the championships are decided. So it's hectic from here on in.